Go ahead and keep your Bibles open there, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. We'll look at these verses just a little bit later on in the lesson. As I mentioned earlier, we're in the third Sunday already of this new year. Of course, January, having five Sundays, so we'll have a couple more yet in this month. But if you're like most people, you made some sort of New Year's resolution. Maybe you didn't really express that to others, but at least in your own mind, you thought, I'm going to do this. This is a new calendar, a new year, and I'm going to try to do some things differently. The top 10, and maybe one of yours fell in these categories. To lose weight, number one. Get organized. Spend less and save more. I might take just a moment. We're going to be offering the Financial Peace University class beginning the first Wednesday in March. So I think there's some information in the bulletin, and that sign-up sheet's back on the board in the back. So maybe that's one of your resolutions. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Number five, staying fit and healthy. The sixth one, learn something exciting. Number seven was to quit smoking. Number eight was to help others in their dreams or ambitions. Number nine, to fall in love. And number 10, to spend more time with family. So those were the top 10 if you just take a wide overview of things. Another statistic I thought was interesting on keeping these New Year resolutions, the percent of people in their 20s who achieve their resolution each year is 39%. So if you're here this morning and you're in your 20s or close to that age, 39%. Percent of people over 50 who achieve their resolution drops to 14. So AARP people, we need to up that a little bit. And just thought that was kind of an interesting statistic. You know, I mentioned earlier that tomorrow is sort of a big day if you're keeping a resolution, because January 18th is the most common day that resolutions are dropped here in the United States. Now, if you live in the United Kingdom, that tails out to the 24th, so they do about 6 days better than us. So if you're into the competition thing, we've got a little ways to go there. But January 18th, the most common day that resolutions are dropped. Do we sometimes just forget our resolutions pretty early on? Are we like the man who moved into the retirement community to spend the rest of his life there? And it wasn't long until he'd made a number of friends with the other residents. And there was one lady that he was especially attracted to. And she was also attracted to him. Both single, so they spent a lot of time together. Finally, one evening he proposed, asking her to marry him. The next morning he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and he said, I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no. Oh, well, thank you, she replied. I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me. So, you know, that's sometimes where we are in life. We make that resolution, we go to bed. The next morning it's maybe gone from our mind, and we just don't know and can't remember. This year I'm going to turn over that new leaf. I'm going to exercise regularly. I'm going to lose that weight. I'm going to do all kinds of things to improve physically and maybe even spiritually. We sometimes will say, I'm going to do better in my Christian life. In 2016, as God's people, as His church, let's make one simple resolution that we're going to make a change for the better. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We're not going to keep all of our resolutions. You've probably already broken some. But as a church, let's make a change for the better. This morning, I want this to be an encouragement to you. I want this to be some positive things that you can look at and say, well, maybe I aren't doing or haven't started doing these things, but I can today. Instead of tomorrow being the day we drop that resolution, let's make tomorrow, today, be the day we start, and then we're on a good road for tomorrow. Heading down that track. Pressing forward. Four things that I want to look at this morning. And then at the end, I want to give you some very practical things for doing these four. So keep that in mind as we go through. Number one, develop a positive outlook toward life. Easier said than done sometimes. You may think, well, what can I do differently? How can I live differently to do that? First of all, we each can make a change for the better by developing this positive outlook. You know, a few years ago, a lady committed suicide, and she left behind a note saying, I decided that unless life was worth living, I would just quit. quit living. How do you feel about your own life this morning? Is it worthwhile? Or let's maybe change that question a little bit. What would it take to make you feel your life is worthwhile this morning? What if you won that large sum of money? Would that do it? What if your marriage suddenly was all patched up? Would that do it? What if your kids began to make you proud? Or if you got that promotion at work, would that do it? What would it take for you to feel positive about your life? Now, if that's what you're thinking, then you'll probably never feel really positive because all the little pieces that must come together typically don't. And you know that. That's the way life is. That's reality. That's the life, the earth that we live in. Those things don't always come together. And sometimes we seek happiness where we shouldn't. You know, there's a reason that we selected this passage in Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to go back and reread this here in just a moment. So I hope you're still there. But before I read it, we need to realize, and I mentioned this a few weeks back when I was preaching out of chapter 4, that Paul was in prison. He was bound. Bound to those guards, probably one on each side. Chained under Roman guard. Horrible conditions. Yet he wrote these words, beginning there at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now you might ask yourself for just a moment, well, what was Paul trying to grab a hold of? Back up to verse 10, and I think we can get a pretty good picture here of what he's talking about. There in that verse it says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. What is he reaching for? What is his goal? Paul's goal here is resurrection from the dead. His goal is eternal life with Christ Jesus. His goal is heaven. If you're here this morning, I think you can shout the same thing. You can boast that same thing, your goal being heaven. Why else would you be where you're at on this particular morning? And here's the point. If our goal is heaven, if our goal is eternal life with Jesus Christ, then the little setbacks in life are only stepping stones in getting us to that final goal. And so often we let those stepping stones become the boulders that we can't overcome in our lives, and they bring us down. You've probably already had some disappointments this year, have you not? Here we are 17 days in, and likely that's the case. There will be disappointments in life, but every day that passes is one day closer to the time that we'll be with Jesus. That's our goal. And we remember Romans 8 and 28, and it's so true. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. What's your disappointment this morning? Did something happen this past week? What are you dealing with in your life this morning? The world says that the way to feel good about yourself is climbing that ladder of success, making that money, having those influential friends, receiving those awards, being in the right circles. That's what the world defines as success. The Bible teaches us we're to feel good about ourselves because God loves us. What better reason do we have this morning? God loving each and every one of us. Frank Peretti was quoted as saying, it's no wonder that our young people today have poor self-images. When they go to school and read books that tell them that they're the products of blind chance, that they are just accidents of nature, unplanned, unloved, and unwanted. But what does the Bible teach? It tells us that we're wanted and loved by God Himself, the Creator. The very one that put us here on the face of this earth loves us. That's what gives our life value. That's what gives our life meaning. A lot of you will remember Jim Valvano. He was the head coach of the North Carolina basketball team. And he rose to fame when his team started winning those championships. Everybody liked him. He just had one of those winning personalities and a winning way of dealing with people. In 1991, however, Valvano learned that he had an inoperable bone cancer. And during the Christmas season of 1992, he said, "It's difficult to be thankful this Christmas because I'm not sure I'll be here next Christmas." And he wasn't. He died early in 1993. But he said, "This Christmas I'm getting down on my knees and thanking God for every day of the 46 years of my life." Life is so special. How are we living each and every day? Do you have a positive attitude about life? A second thing, and this is maybe sometimes a hard thing to do as well, is to develop a positive attitude toward others. Robert Schuller said, or he once wrote in a book, he said, "It would amaze us how many people we could influence for Christ if we would just treat people nicely." And I think he's probably right there. A hard world that we live in, you realize that. You're part of it. You're in the world. Not of the world, but you're in the world as Christians. Sometimes it's that dog-eat-dog world. People are jockeying for positions in life and they don't care who they step on to get there. The church, and please listen to this following two sentences. The church must be a place where we all can come and be accepted, loved, encouraged, and built up. A place where there are people to help us carry our burdens and everyone feels welcome. That's what the church is. We're a body of believers, a family that has come together to encourage, to build up, to accept, to love, to bring to that next level. Developing a positive attitude toward others. When Terry Bradshaw was inducted to the Football Hall of Fame, he mentioned other players who had played with him. And he said, regarding those players, "This honor would mean nothing to me at all if I didn't have people like that who loved me." How do you feel about other people? They sometimes hurt us, don't they? Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. They do, and we sometimes deal with that. But that positive attitude that we're to have towards others can go a long way. A third thing hopefully we can recognize not only this year but each and every day, and I think we do, but we sometimes forget the value of time. Think about it in these terms. How do we value 1 year? Ask a student who failed a grade. How do we value 1 month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely. How do we value 1 week? Ask the editor of a weekly newspaper who missed that important story. How do we value 1 hour? Ask someone who lies terminally ill waiting for a loved one who has not yet arrived. How do we value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane, a train, or a very important engagement that cannot be rescheduled. And how do we value 1 second? Ask an Olympic medalist or someone who just missed having an accident or someone saying goodbye to a loved one they will never see again. Of course, we know that time is a human invention, and we know God doesn't wear a wristwatch. He doesn't use a calendar. And the Bible even says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "With the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." But time is important to us because we have a limited time frame. We only have a certain section here. My beginning was 1967. I'm not yet sure what that end will be. But we know that there's a certain amount of years we have. You know, this year, if we're thinking of things we can do this year, we have a bonus, a leap year. 366 days and only 349 left. So what are we going to do with the time that we have? Statisticians tell us that the average lifespan is now around 76. And that age kind of varies depending on where you might go or different stats that you might look at. I know if you're here this morning and you're 75 or 76, I'm not going to look at those stats. I'm looking at something else. But that's an average. We have some that pass early on and some that go much longer. I ran across some interesting stats also that dealt with the average human that lived to be 75 and the time that was spent just in regular, everyday parts of life. I think this is sort of interesting. If you live to be 75, you will have spent 3 solid years. Now, this is basing it on 24 hours a day. 3 solid years acquiring an education, which would include the grade school, high school, and some sort of college degree. You will have spent 7 years eating. Now, that's 24 hours a day. And I thought, that seems a little high, but if you go back and figure, 3 meals a day, that just about figures out. 7 years eating. You'll have spent 14 years day and night working. You'll have spent 5 years riding in an automobile or an airplane or some mode of transportation. You'll have also spent 5 years talking to each other. Again, here some more, some less. You'll have spent 1 year of that 75 years recovering, either being sick or recovering from a sickness. And you'll have spent 24 years sleeping, which if you get the 8 hours a night would be just about right. You'll have spent 3 years reading a book, a magazine, or a newspaper. You'll have spent 12 years amusing yourself somehow, whether that's television, going to the movie, a hobby, fishing, whatever. And all of those added together total up to those 75 years. This particular stat didn't take it, but let's go just a little bit further. You're here this morning. If you're here 1 hour a Sunday or 1 hour a week for worship service, you'll spend 5.5 months of that 75 years worshiping God. Now double that. Say you're going to stay for Sunday class, and I hope you do. That's 11 months. That's less than 1 year. And if you put that sort of in perspective, maybe it gives us an idea of just where we ought to be going, what we ought to be doing, the things we ought to be focusing on. Now I realize we praise God each and every day of our life, but sometimes it helps to sort of put things in perspective. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Today, because life is uncertain. We have today, and no promise past that. And then a fourth thing, and I think this is so important. Positive outlook towards life, towards others, recognizing the value of time. And then don't be in bondage to the past. And I think that's one reason maybe we have so many issues in keeping resolutions, because we say, well, last year I didn't do it. The year before I wasn't able to, and so on and so forth. We go back and we're already dead before we start, so to speak. You know, we're special beings that God has given us the ability to remember. And your memory can be a friend or it can be an enemy. And in fact, sometimes we dwell upon the negative and begin to feel sorry for ourselves. Maybe this past year has been one that something has happened in your life that's been bad. Maybe you've lost that loved one. Wyman mentioned in his prayer too that passed just this last week. And we realize that is a part of life here as well. Maybe you've lost that job. You're having a tough time making ends meet. See, those things that can cripple us and hold us in bondage to the past are those very things that Paul's talking about when he says, forgetting what is behind. And he had a lot to forget, didn't he? Think about Paul. Think about his life, a very shaky past. He had persecuted the church. He'd used his authority to kill Christians. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, even by his own admission, he said, "I am chief of sinners." What did Paul say? He said, "Put that behind. Forget about that." Maybe 2015 wasn't the best year of your life. That's gone. We can go move on from there, forgetting what is behind. In other words, "God, I will commit it to You. I seek Your forgiveness for all the sins of the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. And right now, I'm going to live today the best that I can." And when we get down to it, that's the key to the whole thing, day by day. Tomorrow doesn't have to be that day that the resolution slipped away. Today we can make new resolve to live today. Not being in bondage to the past. Let me give you just 5 pointers. We've got time to do this morning as we close. 5 things that I think will help you maybe in a if you're struggling with that resolution that you made back on the first day of January. Said, "I want to do this year." Pointer number one, go slow. You probably can't work on changing everything all at once. So take it one step at a time. And I think sometimes we do that. We make way too many resolutions. You maybe see 15 things that need to be done. And you try to accomplish or do all 15 and not do any of them well. You remember the cartoon character Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. He once said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I'm so far behind I'll never die. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. You're just so far behind. You're not ever going to be able to complete everything here on this earth. The key with resolutions is to make a couple of them, stick to them. I was listening the radio earlier this week, and they were talking about New Year's resolutions, and one of the things that they said was a lady who had never been able to keep hers, she decided, well, this year I'm not going to really do anything that I can't keep, but I'm going to do one thing that I hope will make a difference. And that one thing was to simply, when she's walking past someone, she made eye contact with them and smiled, a big smile. And she said she was able to do that throughout the whole year last year, and it made such a difference in her life. So pick one thing. Go from there. A second thing, remember this statement. By the help of the Lord, I intend this year to work in improving myself in this area of my life. By the help of the Lord. That's the key phrase there. I intend. That's really what resolutions are. They're self-improvement for God. We want to be more like God Himself. He wants to help us become more like Him. And hopefully your resolution was something along that nature, to better yourself. And I think most are. A third thing, and this is key as well. If you break a resolution, don't give up. Tomorrow is the average day that most resolutions will be broken. Don't give up on that. Each day is a new day, and you don't have to wait until January of 2017 to start over again. Remember, Paul said, forgetting what is behind. God is continually making us new. Continually forgiving us. Continually blessing our lives. Continually there for us. God doesn't live by calendars. He gives us one day at a time. If you break a resolution, don't give up. A fourth thing, memorize a scripture that helps you focus on your goal, whatever that might be. You know, the Bible has a lot to say as we work on becoming more like Christ. Paul even talks about that in his writings time and time again. You know, in the Wednesday night class or the series of Mousetrap, we're focusing on living pure lives. We have the men's class, the women's class meeting that's we're going through this series, and the main focus is the purity of life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Find a scripture that goes with what you're after and put that to memory. And then a fifth thing, I think this is just common sense. Tell a friend about your resolution and ask them to keep track of your progress. Accountability. What a wonderful way to do that. In fact, you might find someone that has the same thing that you're trying to do in your life and work together. There's power in numbers. Accountability always helps me. Make you a friend. Maybe you and a friend working on that at the same time. Making resolutions is a very Christian thing to do, is it not? Each and every day we're trying to live a more godly life. We begin that right now. We're a year closer to the heaven than we were this time last year. We need to trust the Lord, love Him, to place our lives and place our lives in His hands and allow Him to use us to His glory. Don't let January 18th be that day you quit. Let January 17th be the day you begin. And then begin again on the 18th, the 19th, the 20th. It's one day at a time. And so often we look at the whole big picture and become discouraged and think, I've already messed up. I'm not going to go from here. That's the devil working, is it not? That's Satan working in our lives, providing that doubt. If you're without Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, then you have an opportunity to make a change for the better right away. Many here this morning have put on Christ through baptism, but there may be one here this morning who has not done that. At second service, we're going to introduce a young man, Greg Young, and hopefully you'll see his picture on the board in the weeks to come and be able to meet with him. He was baptized last Monday evening. He's a member of our Springfield Police Department and serves this community each and every day. But he realized there's a bigger calling, and he took that step last Monday night. Don't be like that old beggar woman who ran out of money. She couldn't pay her rent. She couldn't pay any of her bills. The landlord had threatened to kick her out if she didn't pay her rent soon. She only had a candle to keep her warm. And one cold day, she warmed her hands over that candle. And if she was doing that, there was a knocking at the door. She was afraid to answer the door because she thought it was the landlord coming to put her out to the curb. So she blew out her candle and she sat quietly in the dark waiting for the intruder to leave. Well, finally the knock on the door ceased. And 2 weeks later she found out that actually the person at the door was a friend who had come to bring her enough money to pay her rent and her debts. I don't wonder how many of us have heard the gentle knock of our Savior from time to time. Knocking. Asking to come in. And yet we sit quietly and do nothing. Today's a great day to start, isn't it? Don't let tomorrow be the end. Let it be the beginning. Let's begin today. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?